stop it, no stop it, no stop it, no stop it. 4 o'clock and I'm still rocking. Yes, 4 o'clock and I'm still rocking. 4 o'clock and I'm still rocking. No stop it, no stop it, no stop it, no stop it.
I ended up with early copies of the Vertigo crime books, and these come out at the end of the month, August, and they also look like, from design and spine and everything, they look just like real books. Of course, you open it and you immediately see, like, oh, there's pictures, cuss words, probably nudity because it's Vertigo. But like, design wise, there's even the page at the back where they show other books that the author has written. It's like the Ian Rankin is like, hey, you know, buy his Detective Rebus books.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's really interesting.
I think it's an... With novels like Fun Home,
mm-hmm.
They have American-born Chinese, they have the book that's coming, I think it recently came out, The Imposter's Daughter.
Let me see. I got the release date right here. Oh yeah, July 29th.
There
came out from Hatchet, an actual book company.
There's almost an organized effort to get people into reading graphic novels.
Mm-hmm.
I think Fun Home came out and it was such a big success.
Yeah, Times Book of the Year for, was it 06, 07? Whichever year, but Book of the Year, not even like Comic Book of the Year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was, I think a lot of people are sensing that this is a good time to move into a more mainstream mode
mm-hmm.
for graphic novels. And I don't know, I feel like superhero comics have an opportunity for that as well as anything else, but
mm-hmm.
they're such a niche market every way. You have to know the continuity, you have to
know the language, kind of, because just the way the books are set up and like the way they tell stories is very specific to comic books.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's still descended from, you know, Superman 1939 or whatever, where it was made for kids.
Yeah.
And even,
but now it's definitely not made for kids.
Yeah, I hope not.
This, well, except for the novels, the Tiny Titans and the Friends. Which are, and Batman Brave and the Bold,
mm-hmm.
which are specifically made for kids, but I think they're doing a really good job of folding in enough adult humor.
Yeah, kind of paying attention to two masters at a time.
Yeah.
I guess
what they're trying to do is give adults, I mean, the people who have been reading comics
mm-hmm.
all along are having kids now.
Yeah. Which is,
and
it's kind of funny though that the kids aren't really, they aren't as interested
mm-hmm.
in superhero comics as their parents were, because there's manga, which is like $10 for 200 pages, which I would have killed for as a kid. Like, that's amazing. And like, there's so, the video games, music, the internet, there's so much stuff that like I didn't have growing up. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I had, you know, comics were basically the best thing in the world, comics and cartoons, but there's so many more options that it's kind of, the market has shrunk,
mm-hmm.
even for grown-up superheroes, and it's shrunk even more for kids superheroes. Because if you pick up a random Spider-Man, Batman, Superman comic, there's no telling what you're going to get inside. So you have to go to, like, specifically the kids' version, which might not always, like, be in the store you're at.
Yeah.
Kind of, because like the bookstores, they want to like purchase what's going to sell, which is like Superman with Jim Lee or Batman with Jim Lee, that sort of thing, rather than Batman Brave and the Bold, which is pretty good, but it's not necessarily the sales juggernaut that people want.
What I've seen is, well, I guess everyone's got a this will revolutionize the market or this will expand the market idea.
Yeah.
But what I've seen a lot of comics companies have done really well is basically done comics of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, comics of Farscape,
G.I. Joe, Transformers.
Yeah, and that, and Stephen King's The Stand, that's a huge market that they're literally bringing into the comic book shops, because mm-hmm. people want to see the graphic novel adaptation. I think there are a lot of cultures of, I guess, fans who enjoy being fans who mm-hmm. out there.
Where it's about, like, going to shop on Wednesdays and talking about it, like, at the shop while you read it, that sort mm-hmm. of thing.
And, for example, Neil Gaiman works with, is doing Batman books, and that brings people into, I guess, Batman as a concept that brings...
Yeah, like, they still make comic books, and, one of my favorite authors is doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems like there would be an opportunity for example if someone took a manga artist, some superstar manga artist, and said mm-hmm. write a 200 page book about Batman.
Oh, you know, that DC has totally already done that.
It okay.
wasn't so good though.
No, like, it wasn't, but it was released in comics form.
Yeah.
And it was a miniseries.
Right, Children of Dreams, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was Kiya Asamiya's Batman Child of Dreams, which was like a 9-issue series that DC put out in like 99 or 2000 or something like that.
No, it was more recent than that.
Did they do another one?
I know that they did another one that was... It was released in comic book
mm-hmm.
form. Just maybe a couple of years ago.
Oh,
but they
totally
released it
that.
As a miniseries and they released it as a comic.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like... Can't you have Batman as a manga?
Yeah. Oh,
like,
actually,
just let someone take it over and do what they want with it. They know the market that they're writing for. I guess it would be like Solo. Hey, what a sales juggernaut that was. But if you get someone who is a manga artist and well respected, you've got that fan culture out mm-hmm. there. These people are gonna
they'll go
read
to it.
Anything that this person puts out. And this person presumably, as I said, knows the market, knows what's gonna sell.
Mm-hmm.
If you just give them
free rein.
Yeah.
Kind of like Darwin Cook on The Spirit or Ed Brubaker, Cook, and Stewart on Catwoman. Like, they knew the market, they knew what they were going to go for.
Yeah.
But I think it's, there's an X-Men manga coming out soon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a girls' manga for the X-Men. And it's all, like, very kind of lots of flowers, lots of, like, weeping faces, and, like, typical girls' manga.
Yeah.
Which...
And that pains me because I do not like manga.
Yeah, all the faces are
like
really
the style,
pointy.
I don't like the... Generally, I don't like the content.
Wolverine.
Oh, golly.
Who looks a lot like a 14-year-old boy.
I'm just saying... People...
I don't know, it's... Marvel's actually... It's going to be like a complete, you know, little graphic novel. And... It's nice that they're trying. Like, it's totally not for me, because I don't care about shoujo manga. I can't think of one that I've read and really enjoyed. But, like, they actually found someone. It's, Raina Telgemeier, I can never say her name, and Dave Roman, who have been doing that for Tokyo Pop. I think they had an Archie run for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they know what they're doing, and they know who they're marketing to. It's just, they're not marketing to me, so, you know, I'm kind of indifferent.
Yeah, but it would be a way to, I guess, expand.
Yeah, totally.
The franchise.
Because this is an X-Men book that will get shelved with all the other manga, as opposed to, like, with X-Men The End, which no one liked and, you know, no one cares about.
At the same time, it could be just, okay, now you have manga Batman.
Yeah.
And no one wants to read superhero comics Batman.
Yeah.
Who is, they like the style just like I like the superhero comic style and not manga, but...
Yeah.
Another thing I was thinking of is, it seems like superhero fans have such an organized culture at some point. And it involves a lot of production of, okay, yeah, it's fanfic, but fiction and art. I wonder if it would be like DC could sponsor, say, a 14-year-old or kids at different ages writing Batman stories.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
Just kind of foster a culture where you can't, where I guess the company and the fans are more, I guess, in sync.
Huh. I guess there's the whole thing like projecting your brand and all that stuff. But I think Jim Shooter was writing the Legion of Superheroes when he was like 14 years old.
Yeah.
And so with your idea is kind of connecting to the fans by like having a contest for a fan to do like a Batman or like an 8-page Batman story or something.
Yeah, or actual fiction.
Yeah.
They publish a lot of Batman books.
Yeah. Why not bring back like Legends of the Dark Knight and have 4 stories a book or something like that?
Yeah.
And honestly, it can't be worse than some of Batman Confidential.
Don't do that. I like that book.
I like it when it's
okay,
good.
Okay, I like occasionally.
Yeah, that book. The new one's pretty. Then Peter Milligan, where he's in Russia right now, that stuff's pretty good.
Yeah.
But it's like just not Justice
the
League.
The infamous Joker Bunny story. Yeah.
Yeah. The JSA Confidential had like 3 or 4 stories about Wildcat breaking up an underground boxing ring, and it ran for 2 years. So like, if you do the math, most of that book was about Wildcat fighting boxers. But no, I think that they need, both Marvel and DC, like the two big superhero companies, they need to work on growing their audience.
Yeah.
Because they made the mistake of growing up with their audience.
Yeah.
Like the 90s, I read comics, maybe 2 were appropriate for me at my age.
Well, you know? Everyone says, I mean, you haven't been damaged.
Have I? Well, it's just one of those things where
I feel like when I was a kid, I watched Silence of the Lambs in the theater. I was like 9.
Oh, I saw Freddy Krueger and I had to turn around and look at the projector whenever the scary parts came on.
And, I mean, the worst that can happen is kids get scared for a little while.
Yeah. I think kids are a lot more resilient than we think, but at the same time, like a story written for me now that I could enjoy now isn't necessarily what I need when I'm like, you know, 10, 11, 14. I might enjoy it because like, hey, I'm not supposed to be reading this. It's called, you know, like Blood Wolf. But, you know.
I just feel like when we grow up, we want to protect.
Oh, totally.
Kids. And when we were kids, sometimes you open the book and you're like, oh my God.
Yeah. Or like you find a paperback from the library, which is full of violence and like cursing. And you're like, oh, this is awesome.
Yeah.
I kind of read the rest of these.
Yeah.
And that's how I found Stephen King. But, I mean, Marvel and DC really did push for, like, a certain segment of the audience for, I think, honestly, all of the 90s, because with the covers, with the continuity, the crossovers, all that stuff, was saying, like, hey, all you people who have been reading comics for 15 years, 20 years, keep reading these.
Yeah.
And people who hadn't are just kind of like, I don't care about any of this.
Yeah.
So I think more like outreach type books would be a great idea. Just more stuff that's...
But again, it's how do you get them into the store?
Yeah.
And that's what I was thinking. Manga. A lot of comic book stores now have manga sections. And just take them by the hand and slowly, slowly walk them to regular continuity. I know that continuity is a barrier and sometimes it can be really exhausting, but at the same time, people like to be fans. They like to... If something really catches your attention, they like to explore this big world of, like, tons of back issues and all these different stories and all these ideas.
It's like watching Casino Royale and going back and watching all the James Bond movies you never saw.
Yeah.
And I think that continuity is a barrier, but it's not as much of one as people who are steeped in continuity think it is.
Yeah.
Because when we read, like, Infinite Crisis or Final Crisis, we're like, oh, this happened because of this issue 30 years ago, and this is why. But someone new coming in would just go, oh, okay, this happened.
Yeah.
Because Batman's been around for 70 years, Superman 70 years. Pretty much all of the popular heroes are, like, 40 years old.
Yeah.
I don't think most readers have read all that span of stories. Like at some point you just come in and you take it as done, like these things happen.
Yeah.
And you don't really have to worry about why or when. It's just like, oh, Spider-Man's girlfriend was killed by the Green Goblin, and mm-hmm. that was in the 70s. You don't need to go back and read like the death of Gwen Stacy to get mm-hmm. that's a bad thing and that would make him mad.
Yeah, but that's why I think Darwyn Cook has kind of the right idea.
Mm-hmm.
And if, for example, DC, honestly, how much would you love Alison Bechdel?
Yeah, I hope so. Otherwise, I'll be very embarrassed.
It's definitely Bechdel is her last name, but if she did a Batman book,
it'd be really interesting.
That would be kind of cool. I don't know if that would be anything like. Okay, I know for a fact that wouldn't be anything like something people wanted to read.
Yeah.
But it seems like people are starting to walk people to graphic novels as books, as mm-hmm. legitimate books in the U.S.
Like
I think sometimes you can do a transition the rest of the way.
Mm-hmm. I think that actually Marvel's doing an anthology. I think it starts up next month or maybe the end of this month, called the Strange Tales Anthology, and it's mm-hmm. just a ton of indie guys. So there's like yeah. Paul Pope, James Kochalka doing a Hulk story, which is kind of funny, and just people you never would have thought would want to draw Marvel properties doing Marvel books. And the same thing, like these guys have had success elsewhere, like completely outside of the superhero comic shop realm.
Yeah.
Like they're on a different level, not necessarily like a higher level or a lower level, it's just, you know, they're across the street while superheroes are over here.
Yeah.
And it's introducing them to an audience who's never heard of them.
Pigeonhole Ms. Bechdel unfairly.
No.
Maybe she would love to do a Batman book, and we would all be interested in seeing that.
I feel like that's the top secret of a lot of like indie cartoonists, is that like they grew up reading Spider-Man and Batman and all these guys too. You know, they still like them. And if Marvel goes, hey, you know, we'll give you $1,000 to an 8-page story or whatever page rate is, they're like, okay, you know, that'll be fun. And more people will see my work, and then there's crossover between us.
Yeah.
So I know that when Neil Gaiman came back to Batman this past year for whatever happened to the Caped Crusader, mm-hmm. there were some reviews that were like, oh, you know, Neil Gaiman does comics too. Which, for comics fans, you're like, what? He did Sandman. Like, how do you not know he did comics? But he's been, you know, a very successful novelist. And now there's always been interplay, but now there's, like, obviously interplay between the two.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've read Nazi Boys or American Gods, you're like, oh, he's done Sandman, which is about gods, too. I'll read that.
Yeah.
I think it's all about, like, the hook. Like, people are open-minded, you know? It's just finding a book for them and a way to explain it to them so that they're not like, oh, Green Lantern, that sounds stupid.
Yeah.
Did you watch the Green Lantern movie? The first flight?
I did.
You didn't like it?
I did not.
Yeah.
Although it had the most adorable Death Star I've ever seen. It's so much personality.
They even went to Mos Eisley with the bar. But I thought what was really interesting is that if you had to explain it to someone else, the easiest way to do it is that it's Star Wars meets Training Day. Because Sinestro is totally Denzel Washington in that movie, and Hal Jordan is basically Luke Skywalker. You know, it all kind of lines up. And for someone who likes either of those, they'll laugh and they'll go, okay, whatever, let's watch this. And they might mm-hmm. like it, they might dislike it. But you just got to find a way to explain things to people, which I think is what it boils down to.
I think is if, for example, DC or Marvel had a book that was Batman, it was noir, mm-hmm. and they put it on the shelf next to Darwyn Cook's The Hunter,
mm-hmm.
and it looked the same, who would like, oh, I like this, what's the next thing on the shelf? I like this too.
I think that a part of getting that done is going to be kind of ditching the comic book style of covers. Because it's still using, like, you know, 70-year-old language to sell a book. Like, there's the guy standing, posing, you know, or there's, like, the lady shooting lasers in space, and there are so few words. And it looks good, but, mm-hmm. like, I've grown up being trained to think that it looks good.
Yeah.
But it doesn't look like an actual book. It looks like a comic book.
Mm-hmm.
And not that that's bad. You know, like, I love comic books. I've got several dozen within eyesight and arm's reach right now. But, you know, if you're in a bookstore, it's a different kind, like, you need a different kind of advertising.
Yeah.
Like, if you look at, you know, the Da Vinci Code or Twilight or whatever, like, the big seller is now, probably still Twilight, actually. They look like there's a very specific language they're using to sell their book.
Yeah.
Like, author's name in big letters, you know, title, depending on how big the author is, in smaller letters.
Yes.
If you look at Tom Clancy or Stephen King books, it doesn't matter that it's, you know, like, Rainbow Six or The Stand. It matters that it's Stephen King and Tom Clancy. So it's in, like, 18-point font. It's just approaching, it's kind of like, I guess, growing up the rest of the way.
I wouldn't say that. I think it's a different culture and you just have to...
adapt?
Honestly, maybe I'm stuck in the wrong mindset, but the reason I would push this is to make people adapt to buying comics.
Hmm. I think it's still kind of the same mindset, but maybe we're coming at the same thing from different directions.
Yeah.
Maybe mine is just tricking people into buying comics by making them look like real books, which is also okay. Yeah, that's
Let's
great.
See, what else were we going to do? Wednesday Comics. We're going to do a not quite halfway check-in.
Yeah, because we're impatient.
Yeah. We like to bring it to you first.
Yeah. But, I don't think my favorite strip is the Sergeant Rock anymore.
Yeah, I was about to say, the first time around, it was Sergeant Rock, and that means that you're one sick bastard.
I mean, it's just him getting tortured. Yeah, it's just been, like, punching porn.
Yes. And taking pictures. And then they, what was it last week? They go to shoot him.
Like, they run out of film.
No, they go to shoot him and the gun jams.
Oh, yeah.
And apparently there are no other guns in a friggin' war zone. So instead they have to torture him to death.
A friend of mine, Tucker Stone, he explained that scene very well. He was like, you know, the more pain you put Sergeant Rock through, the worse he's going to do you when he finally breaks free. And, like, you would think the Nazis would learn that at some point during the war.
Basically, it's going to be torture going the other way.
Yeah, I think that, like, from issue 6 on, it's just going to be Sergeant Rock beating up Nazis. But I really like... Hawkman has stayed good. I like that one a lot. But I think Supergirl is quickly becoming my favorite.
I just make noises when I watch, when I see it. It's just like,
I think, even if it ends with, like, Streaky the Cat being put down, because...
Oh my god.
Like,
I take it back. No, sick bastard. No matter what you say about Sergeant Rock.
The cat almost killed, like, 200 people.
I didn't mean to.
Because it's too dumb to... Well, too adorable, I guess. I did not realize that a cartoon mouse is a cartoon. But it's like Amanda Connor, Jimmy Palmiotti.
You obviously haven't had spent any time with cats.
I try to avoid cats. I'm a dog person.
Yeah.
Crypto, thumbs up. But it's like, it's a wonderful
strip. I just like how
it
brought her the picture of the cat, of the mouse at the end, as a sign of affection. That brings me back to my own cat, like, bringing in horrible, half-dead animals to me.
But yeah, it's like Connor, Palmiotti, and Gray are doing it, just like killer. It's what I want out of, like, a Supergirl comic, which I didn't realize before I was reading it, is that it's just like, it's funny, it's goofy, and she's, like, permanently exasperated.
Yeah.
It works, like, in a way that the real Supergirl comic doesn't work for me right now, because it's all, like, very important and... You know, like, oh, look, we're in Krypton, and that's a bad thing. The Supergirl in Wednesday Comics is just like, hey, being Supergirl, pretty sweet, except for these pets. What was the punchline at the end of the latest one? We're going to the hospital?
Is she going to see the doctor.
Is she going to spay and neuter Crypto and Streaky?
Oh, how would you do that? All I see is the vet, like, down on his knees. Like, please, please, please don't make me do this, please. He can smell me no matter where I am. Please.
But that strip is really good.
Put me in the Sergeant Rock before you do that to me.
Punch me in the face and take pictures, you know. Also, I haven't read Wonder Woman since, like, issue 2.
It's a difficult one, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like it's really good, and people I know who have been reading it say that it stays good, but it's so dense and the coloring is so dark that, like, I just go, oh, I'll read this next week. But yeah, what's floated your boat for Wednesday Comics?
Let's see. You know, the Flash one I liked at first. I definitely liked the idea of the different styles of the comic strip to show their different ways. But at the same time, it's you don't pay enough attention to me. You're always busy superheroing.
Yeah.
Instead of, hey, maybe we could work out a schedule. I will quit superheroing because I love you.
Yeah.
And
I would still read it like an Iris West comic, you know, weekly, like in the Sunday paper or something. And the art's still really good, but now it's more of just like your standard superhero story.
Yeah. The Batman one has stayed good.
Yeah.
It's,
Did you catch a lettering mistake in issue 4 when he's having dinner with the girl? Is it the very end when someone slides their hotel key across the table and the balloons are pointing in the wrong direction because she's inviting him up to her room, but the way it looks on the paper is that he's inviting her up to his room, and you're like, oh, Batman is totally going to sleep with this girl to get clues, and like, that's not a very Batman thing to do, but it's the opposite instead.
But he does.
With who?
The next issue. Did you see the
last
issue?
He did sleep with her, but it wasn't...
There's lipstick on his collar.
Yeah, and Alfred's upset about it.
I always wonder about that. I mean, are you just... Could he not wash his neck before he leaves it? Or was she just mouthing his collar that whole time? I don't...
Well, it's a G-rated comic, so I think she just kissed his collar and said goodnight. Yeah, Batman has stayed fun. I still don't know where it's going. Like, it's clear that the wife killed the husband, I think. Though, of course, there'll be a twist and it was secretly the brother or something. But it's good.
I thought it was the son.
Oh, was it the son?
No, there was a brother. Was there a brother?
Maybe I'm wrong.
I thought he was the son.
Maybe you're right.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Leeching
the
relatives.
The male family figure. Or family member.
It's definitely not worth being rich in Gotham.
No, not at all.
Be moderately comfortable somewhere else.
Yeah. I really like the storytelling in that strip.
Yeah.
Like, just the way it's laid out. Like, it could still be, you know, like a normal-sized comic, but the big page really makes it, like, it's golden.
And it is, sweeping.
Yeah.
In the sense that it's not... The Supergirl one is fun because it's just every single moment.
Yeah.
And
each panel has something to enjoy.
But it's also... It's meant, this happens right after that. So, like, the entire story so far has happened in, like, 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Whereas the Batman one, it could have been, like, a week and a half.
Yeah. Sergeant Rock, like, 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Depending on how long Nazi cameras take to, you know, do the shutter. Maybe 2 minutes. But Hawkman is, like, I don't even know. It's reveling in whatever it is.
Yes. It is nice when they're having fun, isn't it?
Yeah. And Graham was saying, like, he's not sure if Kyle Baker is seriously telling the story or if he's just kind of, like, making fun of this story. But, like, when Hawkman was like, you know, I've got a plane to catch, looking directly at the reader, I was sold forever. Like, that is perfect.
I like the Commandy one.
Yeah.
And at the Wednesday Comics panel, apparently a whole bunch of people wanted to do Commandy.
Because it's, like, it's the one Jack Kirby comic that, like, people haven't ruined yet. Because, like, the New Gods have been through a lot.
So, yeah.
And, like, Fantastic Four, the Eternals, all those guys, like, you could say they're tainted. You know, that'll be a nice way of putting it.
They have baggage.
Yeah. But Commandy is just, like, last boy on Earth, talking tigers, all right.
You know? Yeah, I guess it's the one that's stayed true is because no one's tried to update it.
Yeah. The closest they came was that Superboy story in the 90s when it was kind of like fake Commandy. He'd come back as an amnesiac and was on basically the island of Dr. Moreau with like Commandy style animals, and they didn't realize, or he didn't realize, that he was actually in the present day. Yeah, so it was Superboy, the last boy on Earth, and he dressed just like Commandy. That was a really good homage. That's one I should go back and reread soon. But Catwoman and the Demon. What do you think about that one?
I like the mix of styles.
Yeah.
Catwoman has always been very, I guess, realistic type comic book, if over the top.
Yeah.
But adding the supernatural element. I never like stories about Batman and magic. They just shouldn't go together. Catwoman, I think, has a little more... I guess the character has more playfulness.
Yeah. It's not what I expected. Because it's more like there's Catwoman who is secretly being controlled by... is it Morgan Le Fay? Like, I don't know. Whoever brought down Camelot back in the day. But I think it's the one that'll benefit the most from, like, when the series is over, going back and rereading it.
Yeah.
Because, like, right now it's just, like, a comic story. It's a page at a time, so it's a little slow. I will say that, like, the only one I don't really like, the one that I skip each month on purpose, is Teen Titans. Because it just does nothing at all for me.
Yeah. It's just...
there.
Yeah.
A little too close to, like, a real Teen Titans story.
And the art is... I don't know. Something about... it's not really defined. It's just... different colors.
Yeah.
It's
just, And I don't know. Overall, I still like it a lot. I kind of wish that, like, Dan Didio wasn't writing the Metal Men story.
Oh.
Yeah. Because, like, Professor Magnus's... professor from college robs the bank that Magnus is in with all of his robots. Like, there are so many coincidences stacking up on each other there.
Yeah.
And he's wearing, like, a suicide bomb belt, you know? I don't know. The art's wonderful, though. So I like half of it. Yes, 4 o'clock and I'm still rocking. 4 o'clock and I'm still rocking. No stopping, no stopping, no stopping, no stopping.